place else you'd rather be than right here, right now. When it's too tough for them, it's just right.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I am your host of Locked On Bills. Good to be with you here on this Tuesday edition of the show. It is Twitter Tuesday, one of my favorite episodes of the week, where I take the time to let you take control of the show and respond to your takes and questions regarding the Buffalo Bills. This was a really fun week because you guys sent so much stuff in that I didn't even have to send out a tweet to solicit the take. So as this becomes a more and more popular show concept, make sure you are taking the time to send those in to me. You can at me at Locked On Bills, at the Joe Marino. Make sure you hit me with the hashtag Twitter Tuesday, because it's sometimes challenging to work through all of my mentions to pull those out, and I don't want to miss anyone. So if I miss you, I'm sorry. Please remind me. A few of you have. You hit me up in the DMs and let me know, hey, you missed this one, and I'm going to get to it this week. So that's not my goal to miss anything, but if you hit that hashtag Twitter Tuesday, I will be sure to see that. Now, before we get into your fabulous takes and questions, I do want to take a second and talk about some news that came through regarding the Buffalo Bills on Monday. First of all, Jordan Phillips, the defensive tackle, is back on what has been reported as a one-year deal. Now, that is reported, and so I don't know the exact terms of the contract. Tried to reach out to his agency, did not hear back before I started recording this podcast, so I'm going to react to this deal as if it is a one-year contract, and being the Bills with their current salary cap situation, regardless of whatever that one-year deal is, it's not going to make a big dent on the available cap space. The Bills need depth at defensive tackle. We've talked about this a lot lately, where I think the Bills are going to really prioritize making a big splash at three technique, probably in the first round of the draft. And what this allows them to do is have some more veteran depth. I don't think Jordan Phillips is the guy that Buffalo signed and said, hey, this is the three technique this year. This is the guy that we want to be that penetration style player, a very important role in a 4-3 defense. But it does give them more depth. And kind of what I've been talking about is Star Lotulelei is your one tech, the guy that plays over center. His backup is Harrison Phillips. Hopefully there's a new, young, exciting piece that's coming in to play defensive tackle at the three tech position with Jordan Phillips as the backup. Again, the terms of the deal are not yet known, and I do know that it did happen because the agency at least favorited my tweet about it, so I feel good about this being real news. The terms also will be very interesting. One other note, I talked to some people close to the Bills, and it seemed like there was a thought that he wanted starter money, and that's interesting because on a one-year deal, it's not really like a starter contract where, you know, he may be the starter next year, but the big commitment, the long-term commitment wasn't there, and I thought that was something Jordan was looking for. Well, truth be told, if you look at Jordan Phillips' career, he doesn't really have the resume that screams, pay me starter money, and so I guess he's kind of taking another year as a prove-it type contract and probably trying to position himself for a bigger deal next year. That's great for Buffalo. If you can get the best version of Jordan Phillips next year, then that's great, and it contract year. So now you have two young players in Shaq Lawson as well as Jordan Phillips in contract years that you hope to get the best football from those guys. So that hopefully will play to the Bills' favor. A couple other quick notes to get into. This is from Josina Anderson. She actually reported that Dwayne Allen is going to be drawing some interest from the Buffalo Bills. Mike Rodak from ESPN put some interesting stuff on Twitter regarding that. Again, confirming the interest that Josina Anderson has reported. And then kind of commenting that his receiving production hasn't been all that good the last two seasons for the New England Patriots, where he caught just a total of 13 passes for 113 yards. He played 42% of the snaps in 2017, 33% of the snaps in 2018 last season. Let's face it, this guy's kind of his receiving upside that was kind of flashy early in his career, that's gone, but he's a good blocker. And so you probably get baseline receiving skills in terms of a check down option, but the real value with Dwayne Allen is blocking. And what I talked about, you guys heard me, I did that tight end podcast a week or so ago where I really got in depth with the tight end plan for the Bills. And the reality is, whether the Bills took a tight end in the first round, second round, third round, the immediate returns on a tight end are historically not very good. And so making sure you have some type of veteran presence in the position group is really important. Dwayne Allen could be that person. The Bills aren't the only team interested. I think it was Miami. The Dolphins were also interested, as well as maybe the Ravens, if I recall correctly. So the Bills aren't a lock to sign Dwayne Allen, but this does kind of go in line with what I've been talking about. To get some level of a veteran to be in the room, you have Jason Kroom as that number two, and hopefully a rookie that offers some upside long term as well. So this is kind of that plan that we've talked about coming into fruition. Also, the Bills have tendered, this is from Mike Rodak as well, they have tendered exclusive rights free agent Eddie Yarborough. Yarborough played 30% of the defensive snaps last season as part of the rotation. He's a guy that hopefully doesn't play at all for the Bills in 2019. You can tell even last year the Bills were relying on Mike Love later in the season to play a lot of the defensive snaps that Eddie Yarborough was asked to play. And the reality is Yarborough, he's made some splashes in preseason, but the guy doesn't make any plays in regular season. And so hopefully you have a rotation, a game day rotation of Jerry Hughes, Shaq Lawson, Trent Murphy, and maybe somebody else that you draft. And Eddie Yarborough's spot on this roster is very much in jeopardy. But in terms of tendering him as an exclusive rights free agent, there's very, very, very little risk involved with that. I'll talk to you more about what it means to tender, but I do want to mention that Mike Rodak has also reported that punter Matt Darr, he will not be tendered, which makes a lot of sense because he was terrible for the stretch of games that he was tasked with being the Bills punter. So right now it looks like Corey Baroquez will be the only punter on the roster, as well as the guy that got injured last year, the torn ACL. We'll see if he can come back. But we'll see what the punter future holds. Maybe one of those mid-round picks will be used on a punter. Real quick, again, this comes from Mike Rodak. I thought this is a really simple way to explain what tendering means. It basically means that the Bills offer them a one-year contract at a minimum salary. They can either sign it. The player can either sign it or not play anywhere in 2019. No other team can sign him unless they're not tendered. And so the Bills basically control the rights now with Eddie Yarborough, and they've graciously passed on the rights for Matt Darr. All right, so that's the news and nuggets out of the way for the day. It's time to get into your takes, your questions. A lot of these are draft related, which makes a lot of sense as we have concluded the 2019 NFL Scouting Combine. I haven't got home yet. I'm still in Indy. My plane leaves tomorrow. I'm excited to get back home and be able to record the podcast from my home office as opposed to in different hotel rooms. But here we are, last one on the road. All right, this one comes from Danny Lang. He says, Mitch Morse and Russell Bodine have the same agent. Does this have any effect on the Bills going after Morse in free agency? I don't think so. I think that Russell Bodine is under contract with the Bills, and he's not going to sign a new deal now. And so right now, that agency is probably really focused on maximizing the market for Mitch Morse. And so Russell Bodine's market's going to be what it's going to be. I don't know that he's going to be starting this year and really being able to pad his resume. Look, to me, that agency being the same is not going to have any bearing on the Bills' negotiations with Morse, or if they want to bring him in, or any of those types of things. I'm sure that happens a lot. I don't necessarily have specific examples to point to, but I'm guessing there are a lot of times where a player currently on the roster who's potentially a starter is represented by a potential free agent target at that same position. So I think it's a good question. I like the level of thinking that you put into this. I don't think that there are any implications in terms of that potential negotiation. All right, this one comes from Anthony. Oh, wow, this is an interesting last name. Paternostro, at Tony Potts. We'll go with that. That's much easier. He said, would most Bills fans be upset with a first-rounder on a defensive lineman? Would absolutely love getting a guy like Ed Oliver at number 9. I talked to you guys about this on the Monday show. The reality is, I think the Bills are very much thinking about defensive tackle at number 9. And we talked about the main reason being there's a lot of money tied up in Star Lotulelei for the long term. 4 more years on that deal. And so the Bills are not necessarily going to make a big splash at a free agent because you're not going to spend that much money on one position group. Not when you can draft a young player. You have a draft that's very favorable at the defensive tackle position where the Bills can get a player like Ed Oliver, like Christian Wilkins, potentially at number 9 overall. They'll get a young player that they can groom and develop for a critical role on a 4-3 defense. And so I think that when they look at how the balance of the positional spending goes, their best bet long term is to use that number 9 pick or trade back or whatever on a defensive tackle, and that is a critical need. I think the question about how Bills fans would be upset, I think that is true because so many are very much on the side of you got to get offense, you've got to get players around Josh Allen. And I get that. I believe that. And my good friend Kyle Krabs, my partner on the Draft Dudes podcast, he reminds people all the time, the draft is 7 rounds. The Bills have 9 more draft picks after the first round. There are going to be ample opportunities to get players around Josh Allen through the draft as well as with the cap space available for the Buffalo Bills. So when we talk about defensive tackle at number 9, that doesn't mean the Bills aren't going to build around Josh Allen. It just means that they're not going to do it at number 9. There are plenty of resources available to get the help that Josh Allen needs. So get ready because I think obviously free agency is going to dictate this discussion a lot. But at number 9 right now, I am thinking, the Bills are thinking, defensive tackle. All right, the next one. It comes from, let me get the name here, Vinny Piscopio. At VinnyScope25 on Twitter, he said, if Metcalf and Quinnen Williams are sitting there at number 9, who would you take for Buffalo? Wow! That's quite the dilemma to be in. That's a very, very enviable position to be in when you can make a choice between one of the best 2 players in the draft and Quinnen Williams, a dynamic guy that's a defensive tackle that I don't even think I've considered being there at number 9. So I've kind of turned my attention to Christian Wilkins and Ed Oliver as those options. And then, you know, DK Metcalf, who I think has the upside to become one of the premier wide receivers in the NFL. So you want to talk about putting me in a bind. This is quite the options to choose from. All right, well, I'm not going to teeter the fence. I'm going to make a call here, and I'm going to go with Quinnen Williams. And I think what you have there is a guy that has the upside to be one of the most dominant defensive playmakers in the NFL. But if there's something that I'm going to choose to discriminate against DK Metcalf is that he's had 2 injuries in the last 3 years that have cost him in the season. The foot injury in 2016, the neck in 2018. And if I'm looking for a disqualifier between 2 blue chip prospects, I'm going to go with the guy that I don't have any injury concerns with in Quinnen Williams. Although, that is not me being a detractor towards DK Metcalf. I think he's special, and there's probably, I mean, honestly, only 1 or 2 players in this entire draft that I would pick for the Bills over DK Metcalf. And Quinnen Williams just happens to be one of those 1 or 2. Great question. I love that one. Thank you, Vinny. All right, this one, next one comes from Chuck Lack at Lackawanna Chuck. That kind of just fits really well. He says, I agree that Wilkins is a McDermott type guy, but doesn't 9 seem high for him? Can you already see it right now? Sean McDermott at the podium talking about that first round pick used on Christian Wilkins and the question being asked, was this too high for Christian Wilkins? And Sean McDermott talking about how important his character and his leadership and his resume is for the football team, for this young football team, and the process and the culture that he's trying to build and how important he is in that 3-tech role. He was when Daniel Jeremiah from NFL.com has him as his in the top 5 of his big board going into the combine. So when you talk about a player, if you think, you know, Daniel Jeremiah is the premier NFL draft mind out there, well, he had him in the top 5 of his board entering the combine. Number 9 is great value. For me, it's okay. I'm okay with it. Christian Wilkins will probably be a top 12, top 15 player on my board. So it's not that much of a reach. I probably will value Ed Oliver over him. But one thing we should probably do is trust Sean McDermott when it comes to defensive players. He's given plenty of reasons to believe in his ability to scout defensive talent and identify the right players for his defense. There, just look at the Bills roster. It's his fingerprints are all over that defense, and I think that's one where you can say, hey, look, Sean McDermott knows defense. I'll trust him to pick the right guy. And if that's at number nine and that's Christian Wilkins, I would let that play out, because Sean McDermott has a really good eye for talent on the defensive side of the football, and he really knows how to develop and coach fundamentals. All right, this one comes from, let's see here, Robert Hanglin Jr. He says, what kind of depth is there in this draft at the pass rusher positions? Look, this is a really good draft for pass rushers. Really good. You've got Nick Bosa. You've got Brian Burns. You've got Josh Allen. You've got Cleveland Furl. You've got Montez Sweat. All those guys are first-round picks. And so when we start talking about the depth of the draft, I think I start getting more question marks about the next tier guys. Ja'Kai Polite from Florida, get him off the board if you're the Bills. Not a chance we should be thinking about him at all. Too many red flags in terms of the way he's wired, right? He would not fit the culture process that Sean McDermott is building. Then you start talking about guys that have injury concerns. I like Christian Miller from Alabama. I like DeAndre Walker from Georgia, but both of those guys have injury things. Chase Winovich really showed out well at the combine, would probably be an option at number 40. Injury concerns there as well. And so, you know, the second tier of pass rushers, I have a lot of questions with those guys. And the reality is, if you look across the landscape of the NFL, there's not a lot of non-high picks at edge rusher that are producing big time. Now, there's going to be exceptions. You can point to a few of those. But by and large, the best pass rushers in the NFL on the edge are high draft picks, first-round draft picks. And so I get nervous beyond the first round, and I don't know that I talked about pass rush, edge pass rush being a very big need on Monday's show, because after this year, the only pass rusher on the roster on the edge is Trent Murphy. So, yes, there needs to be a plan in place, and if really evaluating the depth of the draft is important, but maybe I'll kind of steal what I said about Christian Wilkins. If the Bills are going to use mid-round picks on pass rushers, trust that Sean McDermott knows how to identify the right targets. Let's move on to the next one here from B. Mill. He says, what do you think of T.O. as a Metcalf comp? Interesting. I'm always very hesitant to comp Hall of Fame players to NFL draft prospects, because I think that puts a lot of skew in the minds of people to really kind of forecast career trajectory. Do I think that DK Metcalf has the same abilities as Terrell Owens and can have that type of career? I do. I do believe that. But it's tough. It's tough to put those types of labels on guys. I will say this. DK Metcalf, much bigger, much more athletic than Terrell Owens. And that's kind of crazy. Much bigger might have been a little bit rich. He's an inch taller, and he's about a little more than 10 pounds heavier at the combine. Obviously, Owens in 1996. Terrell Owens in 1996, he checked in at 6'2", 213. He ran a 4.63 40, 33-inch vertical jump, 10-foot broad jump, 4.26 short shuttle. And so Metcalf was way better in every single testing result except for the short shuttle, where he ran 4.5. So I think when you compare physical gifts, you have an even more gifted guy in DK Metcalf as compared to Terrell Owens. All right, we got a few more to get through today. This one comes from Scarecrow Boat. That sounds scary. He says DK Metcalf's agility drills were shockingly bad. For a receiver, isn't that far more important than straight line speed? First of all, great question. This is something that's been heavily debated ever since DK Metcalf blew up the combine in every single test except for his agility drills. Watch the tape with DK Metcalf. Go to Brad Kelly's timeline, at BradKelly17. He's got a wonderful thread on there about DK Metcalf's route running. He has a wonderful article that he put on Draft Network about if you should be concerned with those agilities. If you really want to know an in-depth answer that's far deeper than what I'm going to give you here in just a minute or so, check that out. But the reality is, I don't think it shows up on tape. I don't have any concerns about his ability to change directions on tape. But also, think about wide receivers. There are so many different ways to use receivers. They come in all shapes and sizes. And if you can't find ways to be productive with an athlete like Metcalf, then you're missing the mark. The thing about Metcalf, he's really nuanced everywhere as a route runner. He really knows how to use his size and physicality, his burst. If you want to play press coverage against this guy, he is going to destroy you. He has elite ability at the line of scrimmage to beat press coverage. He has elite acceleration skills. I don't have any concerns with it. Did the numbers, were they not where they were supposed to be, where we hoped they'd be? Yeah, I'm not ignoring that whatsoever. Those were bad times. But I don't see issues with it on tape. And there are so many different ways to use wide receivers. The way that Julio Jones wins compared to the way that Adam Humphries wins, very different. The ways that A.J. Green wins compared to the ways that Julian Edelman wins, very different. So keep in mind, receivers come in all different shapes and sizes, and there are all kinds of ways to get productivity out of them. You can get three level of the field production from DK Metcalf at an elite level. It is not going to detract me or concern me that much when it comes to his overall evaluation. All right, a few more to get here. This one comes from Justin Hawks. He says, listen to the Bills pod for the first time. Thanks, good work, and listen to almost all of them. Thank you. Really appreciate that. If Metcalf and Taylor are gone at 9, and if you say it's a deep defensive tackle draft, do you trade down and get an extra second-round pick? This team has needs at offensive tackle, defensive tackle, wide receiver, tight end, and defensive end. I'm a fan of 4 picks in 3 rounds. I'm not against more picks for the Bills. And obviously, the list of needs here on March 4th, a week before free agency opens, a couple months before the draft happens, the list of needs is really, really long. And so right now it's hard for me to say, yeah, the Bills still have a lot of needs on April 26th when we're talking about the NFL draft and where trading back is absolutely the right thing to do. Now, if the Bills can't address things in free agency or with trades, then yeah, that's a real conversation. But for me, the priority for the Bills is almost like forget the position. Forget what position the player plays. Get a high-impact player. Get a player that other teams have to game plan against. A guy that affects how other teams play against you. That's what the Bills need. They need a dude. They need more stars. They need more top-end players on this roster. And I'm not going to trade away from any of that at number 9. Now, the Bills did do that. When they went from 10 to 27 and still got Trey White, that worked out pretty good. Now, they left a lot on the table there at number 10 as well. But we're not going to get into that. We'll save that for another time. But the reality is, get a guy. Get a very, very high-impact player. The Bills have plenty of draft capital. Now, I know it's not a lot of top draft capital. They only have a first, a second, and third. But there's a lot of day 3 picks. Look at the Bills, what they've done with day 3 picks. Matt Milano, Wyatt Teller. Those are good football players. The Bills know how to turn in those day 3 picks and get productivity out of them. Let's move on to Intangibles NFL Pod. He says, and this is referring to DK Metcalf, with his performance at the Combine, DK Metcalf established himself as a top 5 pick, which is good and bad news for the Bills. Bad, he won't be there at 9. Good, another really good player will be pushed down to number 9. Yeah, that's true. It's kind of like what I was talking about with quarterbacks. The best thing for the Bills, quarterbacks going high, pushing premium talent down the board. I'm not going to forecast a guy like Quinnen Williams getting there to 9, but you know, I don't know. I don't. Maybe Juwan Taylor gets there. It does. Yes. The reality is, it potentially does push down another good player one slot that could ultimately fall to the Bills. Last one here, again about DK Metcalf. He's been a popular guy. I guess it kind of makes sense. The Bills need a receiver. Yeah, bad, and DK Metcalf just blew the roof off the scouting combine. He says, referring to DK Metcalf's combine, does this lock the Bills potentially into using the 9th pick on him if he falls? And Juwan Taylor, Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams are all off the board. I mean, if the Bills are sitting there at number 9 and DK Metcalf's on the board, I don't know how you don't make a very strong case for him being the pick. I mean, I know I'm talking about defensive tackles and how important that is, but to me, DK Metcalf's the top 3 or 4 player in this class with elite upside, an extremely high ceiling. He's exactly everything you're looking for in a wide receiver, a guy that can be one of the most dangerous guys, just a player that's a nightmare to defend. Who has a player on their team that's going to be able to handle him 1v1 in terms of physical traits? I don't know. I don't know that there's a lot of guys that project favorably to matching up with DK Metcalf. So, yeah, if he's there at number 9, I think it absolutely has to be part of the discussion. Especially, look, if I'm thinking about the players that I don't think you would take over – DK Metcalf. It's probably Nick Bosa and Quinnen Williams. That's probably the whole list. I'm just trying to get you guys ready to go for that defensive tackle thing. Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean have been dismissive to the wide receiver thing and all the comments that they've made so far this offseason. And so I'm really believing that it's a defensive tackle thing. But I do think if DK Metcalf is on the board, that really does kind of change that conversation. At the same time, I don't know that he's going to be. There's landmines for him. Number two to San Francisco. Number three to the Jets. Number four to the Bucks. Or excuse me, number four to the Raiders. The Lions at eight. Somebody trading up. I just think there's too many landmines for him to get to number nine. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us today. You guys were fantastic taking control of the show, letting me know what you want to talk about. Evidently, you guys want to talk about DK Metcalf, and I'm cool with that because I am very, very high on Mr. Metcalf. If you have stuff for me to get into next Tuesday, make sure you hit me up on Twitter, like I talked about in the open. Hit that subscribe button. Leave that 5-star review. I really appreciate that. Tell a friend about the podcast. Share it on Twitter. All that stuff really, really helps. I'll be back again for you tomorrow. And until then, thanks so much for listening to Locked On Bills.